We thank you, Lord, for this word. It's alive. This book, Lord, is powerful. Lord, it just filled with strength and power, pregnant, oh God, with your truth and the victory, Lord, that you want to bring into our lives. Anoint me today. Anoint our minds and our hearts to receive this. Be glorified in this place as you fulfill your purposes in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want you to open to John and turn to the 15th chapter. I want to say that we do have all new material in our Fresh Start class that meets at 10 o'clock Sunday morning. And we have a lot of other new classes as well. As you know, we've started a couples class that's at 10 o'clock and a singles class at 10 o'clock. Our prime timers, they meet at 11 o'clock. Junior high meets at 11 o'clock. And our Celebrate Recovery class has been moved to Monday night. That's Monday at 7 o'clock. And that's for any kind of life-altering thing that's going on. You know, God wants you to get free and really get the victory. He wants to alter your life and bring victory to you, whatever that might be. Turn to John chapter 15. You know, last Sunday, as a follow-up to Easter, I talked about experiencing Christ's timeless victory today. The Lord wants us to walk in that victory. And I shared with you the scripture, you know, that it's never entered into the heart of man, ear heard, nor eye seen, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And that the Lord has more prepared for you than you can even imagine if we'll just seek the Lord. And that God wants us to have an expectancy. And he's called you and he loves you and you're approved of God. And that he wants to do something awesome and mighty. And I said that at the same time, we've got to make some kingdom adjustments. We've got to do it his way. You know, if you really meant the resurrected Christ, you're not going to just continue in the ways you used to live. And that God's going to bring victory. And with those new opportunities are going to come new challenges. You know, new levels, new devils. We heard of that. But it's well worth the fight. And not a matter of fact, our fight is just a fight in faith. He's the one who's done it for us. He's defeated the enemy. And that we can look to the Holy Spirit and that he's going to give us all the power you need. He's going to give you everything you need to do what God has called you to do. He's going to meet every need you have, lead and guide, direct you, give you the strength, protect you. How many of that's true? He'll do it. He's going to do more than you're expecting him to do. So I really felt this Sunday, I wanted to put it in a practical. I wanted to talk about abiding today from John chapter 15. And abiding in the promise of a fruitful life that God wants to bring to us. So let's just read these verses. If you would just follow me, I'm going to start in verse 1 of chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the gardener, the keeper of the garden. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I'm the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, and he's going to be cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into a fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. And so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Even if I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatever I've commanded you to do. From now on I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now this is powerful. Abide is used there 11 times in 11 verses. I looked up in Webster's dictionary the word abide. We know it means to wait or to tarry, to abide, you know, to wait for someone. But here's the definition that was in Webster's that pertains to Scripture. As a matter of fact, it even used the Scripture. I thought that was really cool. Webster, I wonder if he's saved. Or if, I don't even know if he's alive. Maybe not. But anyway, I wonder where he is today. Here's what Webster said. Abide. To remain stable or fixed in some state or constant in some relationship. Continue. Let every man abide in the same calling where he is called. 1 Corinthians 7:20. Is that cool? In Webster's dictionary. To continue to be, to last, to endure. A love that abides. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. This is the last parable that Jesus gave on earth. After this, he was crucified. You know, this was an important parable. The last parable that Jesus gave to us. Now, it's called the Master Parable. It's called that, first of all, because of its importance, but also because of its profound truth to success and fruitfulness that God wants to bring to us. So the first thing I want to talk to you about today is the promise of fruitfulness. The promise of fruitfulness. As we read this, it says, if we abide in him, that the Lord has promised that he'll bring forth fruit. It says in verse 1, and more fruit. In verse 5, much fruit. So God says, you bring forth fruit. He wants you to bring forth more fruit. He wants you to bring forth much fruit. And God ordained it to be. It says in John 15, 16, I love this verse. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have ordained you to go and bring forth fruit, and that fruit will remain. So God guarantees it. I've ordained it. You will be fruitful if you abide in me. And there's no other way to do it except to abide in him. Listen to the promises he gives us. John 15, 5. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Without me, you can do what? Nothing. But with him, we can do what? All things. I can do all things through the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's heart is to bring two things. Quality of life to you as you abide, to bring quality in your life, but also to bring increase. God wants to bring increase in your life, in every area of your life. That's fruitfulness. That's what the Lord's talking about. It said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Fruitfulness in our lives. I thought this week even in Genesis chapter 9 verse 1 when he said to Noah and his family, be fruitful and multiply. Yeah, it's talking about children, but it's talking about more than that. It's saying whatever you do, God wants you to increase. He wants you to prosper, be successful, be blessed abundantly. That's God's heart for you. Beloved, I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. It says in Joel chapter 1, as it's talking to abide in the word there. It's saying get in the word and that you will prosper wherever you go. It says in Psalm 1, same thing. Old Testament, New Testament. Get in the word. Let that word get into you, and whatever you do shall prosper. First thing I want to do this morning is share some areas of fruit that God produces in our lives as we abide. You know, what is the fruit? I mean, it's a lot more than this, but here's some of the places it talks about fruit. What is being fruitful? Number one, that he will bring productiveness and good works into our lives if we abide in him. God promises us we are going to be blessed. It says that you walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Here's the second fruit that it talks about. It has to do with the way we speak. It's praise and right speech. That's fruit. It says in Hebrews 13, 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. It's talking about a sacrifice of praise, bringing fruit as unto the Lord from our mouth and increasing in the Lord. And that so there's fruit to God, there's also fruit to us. It has to do with our mouth. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. That when you learn to control this thing, it'll bring fruit into your life. You fruitful, and that God is going to do that as we abide in Him, that He brings fruit and blessing. They're the result of a wholesome tongue and encouraging words, that as we abide in the Lord. As we abide in Him, number three, we have a new freedom from unrighteousness. We have a new power to live righteously. It's called fruit. Romans 6:22. Now being made free from sin, we become servants to God. You have your fruit into holiness. In the end of its everlasting life. So the way we live, it's fruitful, being righteous, walking in the holiness of the Lord. Number four, the winning of the lost is called fruit. People that are won to Jesus, it's called fruit that comes in. John 4:35 and 38. Say not that there are 4 months and then comes a harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for there are white already the harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto eternal life. And so as we abide in Him, He says you'll be fruitful. One of the ways you're going to be fruitful, people are going to be affected by our life. And that they're going to be touched. Are we fruitful? That's the question today. Are we fruitful? Think about it. So one of the things that's going to happen is it's going to change people's lives. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. Romans chapter 1, verse 13, Paul speaking, saying, now we're not having you to be ignorant, brothers, that often I proposed to come to you, but it was hindered, that I might have some fruit among you, even as I have had among other Gentiles. Anyone outside of Judaism is Gentile. He went everywhere, winning people to the Lord Jesus. He wants fruit that's going to abound to His count, fruit that abounds to your count, that not to say, here I am, look what I did, but for the Lord God. I want you to know that I've challenged you, and I want you to really take it to heart, because I believe it's of God, that you get one of these cards if you don't have one of these. It says VIP at the top. This is our list. 10 people that we're praying for every day, every day, every day, that God is going to move on their hearts, that they're going to get saved, and that we're going to believe God. You know, I know that His word is true, that the Lord does what He promises to do. And so it says, pray daily for every person on this list. But the scripture says, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, giving of thanks, being made for all men, talking about God, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of truth. God would not ask us to pray for the lost if it did nothing. You're too quiet this morning. God would not ask us to pray for the lost if it did nothing. If we don't pray, it's going to do nothing. But if we start praying for people, God is going to start doing things in their life. You're not going to do it. God does it. No one comes to Him except He draws him. And He draws people by the Spirit. As we pray and as we enter in, it affects people's lives. Do you have one of these? How many have one of these? Let me see. You don't have to hold up. If you don't, get one. They're right around you. I think they're right there in the seat. And I want every person in the church, just think of us. 2,000 of us are doing this every day. We're praying for 20,000 people a day to get saved. It's going to cause things to happen. And then on the back, there's a list of things to help you with it. We're going to be giving you more as well, material that you can have to help to share with them. And let's get bold. Let's start inviting people to come. This summer, we're going to have a campaign to bring 2,007 visitors in. We've done it before. We're going to do it again. And when we start working on it and really start focusing, man, things happen. People start coming in. Each one of us needs to reach one. Each one reach one. And we can see lives change mightily for the Lord God. It's just doing it. It's first fruits of all thine increase. So he talks about fruit as being material things. We know where to bring God tithes and offerings. He says, prove me here with, saith the Lord of hosts. If I want, pour out a blessing. I'll open the windows of heaven over your life and pour out a blessing over your life. It says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. Here Paul is talking about the support that the church in Thessalonica had given to Paul, that they were supporting his ministry. And he says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Then he goes on saying, because you give, God blesses you. But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches of his glory. If we abide in Jesus, abide in his word, he's going to cause fruitfulness to come in all these areas of our life. It's just going to happen. Things are going to happen. You watch, God's going to do it as we abide in the Lord. And then the last thing, certainly not least, is where it says that abiding produces the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit, talking about fruit in our lives. That as we abide in the Lord, man, I need him every day. I've got to abide in him. And as I abide in the Lord, then things happen. And then he does it. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, self-control. I need them every day. How about you? Every day. How many run a little lean every day and you got to get filled up again? Say, I feel really good. I've got the victory. Hallelujah. I've just got love, joy, peace, and patience. And then I walk out the door. You know, it's like you know, you've got to stay filled up all the time. So that has to do with abiding and the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. I want you to know that fruit bearing is the true test of discipleship. You shall know them by their fruits. You shall know them by their fruits. Are they for real? Look at their fruits. And so God wants us to be fruitful. So B, the next thing I want you to remember is that Jesus produces the fruit, not us. I am the vine, he said. That the life is in the vine. It's not in the branches. It flows from the vine into the branches. Without me, you can do nothing, nothing. That Jesus is the source of life. Jesus is the source of the master plan. Jesus is the source of the direction that he gives. Jesus is the source of the instruction. Jesus is the source of wisdom. Jesus is the source of knowledge. Jesus is the source of blessing. Jesus is the source of fruitfulness. Jesus is the source of increase, of prosperity. Jesus is that source, you see, of healing, of strength, of encouragement, of victory, success, breakthrough. Jesus is that source. He is the source, not me. So the sap flows from the vine into the branches. That's how it sustains. That's how it gets life. And so the next thing we'll talk about is pruning. Uh-huh. You see? But if there are things that are blocking the flow of that sap or using that sap in ways that God doesn't want us, then it says, the Father prunes the branches. I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. You know, we all want to be happy. We all want to be, you know, joyous, victorious branches with fruit coming off all the boughs of the tree. You know, I remember second chapter of Acts, they were out, this is a lot of years ago, on the bus doing tours, and I guess, you know, they were got a little bored, and so they made up a sign, or made up a song, and it went, he's a peach of a Savior, he's the apple of my eye. He prunes back the branches when the branches get too high. He bears fruit in season and his love will never die. And that's why I'm bananas for the Lord. Glory, glory, we're the branches. Glory, glory, we're the branches. Glory, glory, we're the branches. And that's why I'm bananas for the Lord. Right. Doesn't work without abiding. We don't like this pruning business. You know, I know pruning can be painful, but God does it for our own good.
Okay, I'm confused. Did he just say God wants to prune things out of my life? When did church become Home and Garden Television? Now, normally I'm willing to go with Pastor on these things, but he's lost me on this one. I just really don't think that there's things in my life that God needs to prune out. Don't get me wrong, right? I'm not perfect. But God couldn't possibly expect us to be perfect all the time. I mean, I consider myself a decent human being. No misdemeanors, no felonies, no high-speed chases, none of that. And even the small stuff that would be considered bad by others is, you know, that's nothing compared to other people I know. Now, you know, I know God loves me, but he's so busy, he couldn't possibly be concerned with every aspect of my life. Now, if there were some things that could possibly be something that God might want to prune in my life, Pastor just said it was going to be painful. Why on earth would I want to be a part of something like that? Ow! God, what did you do that for?
It's for your own good.
For my own good? It didn't feel like it was for my own good. Now I'm a little bit stressed because that hurt. And you know what happens when I get stressed? Ow! What are you doing?
It's for your own good.
For my own good? Ow. All right, okay. I wasn't completely honest. All right, there's some things in my past that, you know, I should have dealt with a long time ago. And now I can see where a minimal amount of pruning may not be such a bad thing. And, you know, I feel like we finally have worked on some things that you wanted to take care of in my life. Yeah. I feel good, you know. I can breathe. I've learned some lessons here. It's cool. It's great. No! Okay. Now I'm getting frustrated.
It's for your own good.
I can't deal with this right now. Ah! Oh my! You!
It's for your own good.
God, you're right. Okay? You're right. Thank you for pruning these things out of my life. And thank you for completing your work in me. Now that you're done working on me, I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to praise you and worship you for the work that you've done.
It's for your own good.
How many know the feeling? Right. But it's what? Good for you. So there are hindrances to being fruitful in our life. There are things that block that flow of the sap. See, why do you prune a plant? Well, there's leafy growth. It's not the sap's going into the leaves not to produce fruit. There's sap that goes and just produces wood growth instead of going to the fruit. There's other fruit that's diseased or not healthy. It has to be cut off and pruned so it won't infect the good fruit. So as you cut off the leafy part and the wood and the bad fruit, then the sap goes into producing more fruit on the plant. So there are hindrances. You know, Kevin gave us some of them. And but there are a whole lot more. And there are a whole lot more in this room. But, you know, let's think about them. Unbelief, hardness of heart, pride, sin in our life in all shapes, forms, disobedience, unforgiveness, worldliness, just carnality, the stuff we get involved in and watch and hear and see, and people we hang out with, discord and strife that we cause or comes to us, it takes away fruitfulness. The words that we use, Proverbs 23:21-3 says, whoever controls their mouth keeps their soul from trouble. How many know that's the truth? Maybe you've never found that out. You need to find it out. You know, attitudes, anger, a critical spirit, selfishness. All these things are things that hinder the fruit that God wants to bring into our life. So he wants to produce new growth. You know, my wife, she's involved in yard doing stuff out there, and it's like our yard was in pretty bad shape, and she really is, you know, saved it. I mean, it was horrible. And there's these little flowering trees in the back. There's about four of them back there, and so they were growing up a little bit, and so she pruned them. And they're the kind of tree, it doesn't have one main trunk, you know, but has, you know, several things. It's like a bush tree, I guess. And so I came home, and there's just like sticks. I mean, it's like there's not anything green left on it. I said, you killed it. It's a stick sculpture. I mean, it's like, you know, these things sticking out of the ground back there, four of them across. That's really attractive, you know. We should hang something out there on them now, you know. Because they're dead, they're gone, you know. But you know, she knows what she's doing, and now the green stuff's growing back every direction, you know, because she pruned it and she cut it back. And I know in time, that there's going to be, you know, more flowers that come on that tree because of that. So, you know, God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He knows just what to take off. He knows just what to deal with. You need to thank God that he does. Because the Lord deals with it. Uncomfortable? Yeah. Thank God that he's doing this. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. He says, you know, he throws some in the fire. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bring forth more fruit. So I got a big thing here about this pruning business. You see, if you bring forth fruit, he said he's going to prune you so you bring forth more fruit. And if we read that if we're not abiding in him, we're in big trouble. So you're pruned if you do, you're doomed if you don't. I mean, either way, you know, God's going to get you. So you might as well just enjoy the pruning business. It's better than the flames. Can you say amen to that? And so why is he pruning us? Because he wants to bring forth more fruit, much fruit in our lives. Oh, thank God. He takes us through those things, but later on, we thank the Lord when we look back. How many can look back? How many have been Christians for a while? Let me see. How many can look back at some of the stuff God's pruned away and you say, thank God that he got rid of that thing in my life? You know, I'm not bringing condemnation to anybody, you know, that's having trouble smoking, but I don't miss it at all. Not at all. I'm not saying, oh, man, it's been such a struggle all these years. I want a cigarette so bad. I want to get away from it. I can't stand being around it anymore. You know, it's not to bring condemnation. And maybe I had a bigger trouble with that than I did with a lot of other stuff. Because some of the other things were really big things. And I knew, man, these had to change right now. Or, you know, God, I was in big trouble, you know. But it was like, well, it's not so bad, you know. It's just smoking. I mean, it's not that bad. You know, but God had other ideas. And I guess it was hard for me finally to lay that down. And to finally say, listen, I know. But he kept dealing with me. He was pruning me back, dealing with me about it. So the last thing I want to share this morning is that, you know, if we, the branches, abide, we are promised fruitfulness. We're guaranteed fruitfulness. If we abide in the Lord God, it's not maybe. He's guaranteed you're going to be fruitful. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I'm the vine, he says again. You're the branches. He that abideth me and I in him. I want you to notice the interdependence. He's in me. I'm also in him. I'm in him. So I want you to remember, the Lord produces the fruitfulness. He's the one that produces the fruitfulness. And we can't do anything without him. But he can't do anything without us. A tree or vine can't produce fruit without the branches. and without them being pruned back. The vine by itself can't produce fruit. There's an interdependence. I've got to abide in Him as He abides in me. So it's just like the body. You know, the body of Christ. He's the head. The head doesn't get along well just by itself. It can shout out orders all day, but there's nobody there to the body to respond. Move! And there's nothing to move. And so it's the whole body. And that we are all connected. All of us together. We're all one. Everything. The vine, the branches, the blossoms, the fruit. There's an interdependency in the whole body. If there's diseased fruit on the tree, we're all going to be affected by diseased fruit. And so there's an interdependency. I want us to see that. So the vine can't produce fruit without the branches. And so it's our heart, too, to yield, to surrender, to be open, that sap can flow into those areas of our life. I want to give us 5 keys of abiding as we close. And you know, this is just the basic stuff, but we have problems with it. There isn't anything here you don't know. We're just not discipled. We're not disciplined to do it. It's very simple, but it takes a discipline to do it. So I want to give us these 5 keys of abiding. Number 1 comes through the Word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you will to be done unto you. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So it comes through the Word of God. Study to show yourself to prove unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. So God wants us to know the Word, understand the Word of God. Get it into our hearts. Every day. I've said this several times. I said it around the first of the year. I want to say it again. You've got to get into the Word every day. It'll change your life. You're going to see fruitfulness. And I want to challenge you every day. You just get up earlier in the morning. You know, we read the letter of a young lady that had a job, and she just took this to heart. She started getting up. And so what happened to her job? She got promoted. She got up and spent that time in the Word and prayer every day. And it did something. She did even more than I was asking her to do or asking you to do. But you can read through the whole Bible in a year if you just read 2 chapters of the Old Testament and read a psalm, one psalm. When you're done with Psalms, then start in the book of Proverbs. Read one proverb a day and read one chapter in the New Testament. That's not that much reading. And you can get through the whole Bible in a year. Say, but I didn't start in January. So what? You can start it now. You can get done next year in April or May. So what? Say, well, I don't know if I can do it. Okay, well, it took you an extra 2 months. So what? You went through the whole Bible. And you know what's going to happen in your life. Hello? I want you to make a commitment. How many want to be fruitful? Here's how you do it. That's how you do it. You get in the Word. Get the Word into your heart. If this church would start doing that, there'd be fruitfulness. It would start coming all over the place in the church. Here's the second thing we do. I already said it. You pray. You've got to be in relationship with the Lord. It says in Proverbs 15:8, the prayer of the upright is his delight. How many want to delight God? I know you do. You delight the Lord in prayer, coming into relationship. I know that. My wife, you know, she, I love her. You know, men and women are different. She longs for that time that we have alone. That there's a heartfelt relationship, not just spending time together, but where she really is feeling my love. She's really, that's what Jesus wants. So I went to church. That's not going to do it alone. It's like saying, well, I went to the movies with my wife. Went to the basketball game with my wife. It's not going to be the same. It's having that time alone, developing the relationship in prayer as you trust the Lord, as you cry out to Him. It says, pray without ceasing. That, you stay in an attitude of prayer all the time. Jesus said, pray and not faint. So it's kind of like, it says, if my word's in you, ask what you will. It's going to be done unto you. It's kind of like when you get into the Word, you're going to pray, he'll answer your prayer. And when you pray, you know, it causes you to have more understanding of the word. It's kind of like a circle. They bless one another. That prayer brings more wisdom and understanding, and the word brings more understanding and answered prayer, and they all go together. Prayer and the word of God, as the Spirit of God works in your life. Every day. Here's the next thing. We know this already. Fellowship. Fellowship. See, his life flows through each of us to one another. It not only comes from the head, but it comes down through the head, through the body, and that we're all touched by one another. And that I become fruitful. You know, I've said it before. You know, who you hang around with is going to determine what's going to happen to your life in the future. You can look at people and predict what they're going to be like in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years by who they're hanging around with. Hello? You look at kids and see who they're hanging around with. That's going to have a lot to do with what they're going to turn out like. Who are we hanging out with? Who are we rubbing shoulders with? See, that the Lord, we're the family of God. We're His family. His nature's in us. And that the if we're hanging out with rotten fruit, that fruit's going to affect the tree. It's going to affect it's going to affect us. Come on, somebody say amen. He says, these things I command you, that you love one another. Let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. Considering each other. Be concerned about one another. Lift each other up. Encourage. Exhort. Strengthen one another. That God tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. That this is God's word. This is not mine. God wants us to come together. He gave gifts unto the church. He said that He gave apostles and He gave prophets and that He gave evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the preparing, for the working in us, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying and building up of the body. God brings you into church. He gave you gifts because this is the way He matures you. Man, we are starting the most awesome total program in this baseball diamond. It's going to change your life. And I'm going to be saying more about it because it's going to be all coming into force pretty soon. It's going to change your life if you will really commit to it. It's going to take some discipline. But if you will commit to it, that you can go through these classes at the end of it, you're going to see a changed life. And that they'll all take place on Sunday morning. It means you're going to have to come to a class Sunday morning and come to church. You're going to have to put some extra time in. So what? You know, if you're sick, you go to a doctor. It's worth it if you're sick, but let's go to Dr. Jesus first. Maybe you won't get sick as much, or you won't get sick at all. You know, if you're out of shape, you know, you need to go to a gym. It'll pay. Matter of fact, a lot of you spend more time in the gym than you do here in God's house. You know, you go to the gym 3 times a week. You come here, you know, sometimes 1 time a week and complain why you're here. Not you, not first service people. I'm talking about second service people. You guys are awesome, you know. I say the same thing to them, you know, but anyway. So, you know, it's fellowship, encouragement, that's the way we abide in the Lord. So we hang out with God's people. It affects our lives. His life flows into us. Here's the fourth way, is that you continue in His love and in obedience. As the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in His love. It says, whoever abideth in Him sins not. It's talking about a course of sin, not a slip once in a while. But if you're really abiding in Jesus, there's going to be fruit in your life. We're going to walk in righteousness before God. God's wanting to do something awesome in your life. He's wanting to take you to a place you've never been before. You know, that the Lord wants you to see He's got more prepared for you than you can imagine. He wants you to have an expectancy. He wants you to know He's called you, that He's always loved you, that you're approved of in God. And He also wants you to know that there's going to be some kingdom adjustments if you're going to be fruitful. You can't just keep on doing those same old things that you're doing. And as we're heading into new levels, man, there's going to be some new challenges. And that you're not going to get there. You know, one of the things that happens every time before I'm promoted, that there's going to be some trials. There are going to be some pruning in my life. God's got to get me in shape for those things that he's prepared for me. Hello? He's not being mean. He's trying to get us to the place where we're mature enough to handle all that he wants to bring to us, that we can do it with wisdom, that is going to strengthen us. Hello. So this is just a practical side of it. It sounds like it's going to take time. That's right. Anything worthwhile is going to take some time. Instead of watching mindless TV all the time, give all your time to that mindless boob tube. Does nothing for you except defile you and pollute you, rob you of any victory that you get here. You know, see, you spend an hour in church, or an hour and 15, or hour and a half in church, and then you spend all these hours in TV, and it's like any ground you made, you know, you lose all during the week. God wants us to spend time with him. And so here's the last thing. So we're going to abide through the word and through prayer, through fellowship, continue in his love. If we love him, we're going to obey him. We're going to do obedience. We're going to cooperate. Man, it's better to cooperate and get rid of the things that are pinching off the sap from flowing in our lives than, you know, God, ring, you know. How about we just work with the Lord and yield and surrender to the Lord? And the last thing is by faith. By faith, I abide. I trust him. I know God's word is true. I know God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's worth it. It's worth it. When I abide in him, things are going to happen. I know if I abide daily in him, I am going to be fruitful. I'm going to prosper. I'm going to have the abundant life that the Lord promised. I'm going to know God's strength. There's going to be a payoff as I abide in the Lord. Things are going to start happening. I don't produce the fruit. God produces the fruit. There's just this life that begins to flow, and it just begins to happen on its own. And I say, wow, man, wow. All these, quote, coincidences, you know. That God's life just starts to flow. You know, we didn't have to stand in the backyard with the stick sculptures. You know, and go back there and say, you got to try. You got to try harder. You got to really try harder. Come on, come on. You got to try harder. Get with it. I'm so weary from trying to make this thing grow. Try, try, try. Please, I'm pleading with you. Bring forth some branches, new branches. You know, it just happens. Sunshine there. Nutrients are coming up through the soil. There it goes. Doesn't labor. It just poof. That's what happens in your life. You just spend time in the sunshine. Just get rooted and grounded in the Word. Hallelujah. The rain of the Spirit comes on your life. It just starts coming. And you're going, I cannot believe the changes that have happened in my life. You've not chosen me. I've chosen you. That you might go and bring forth fruit, that you might be fruitful and have much fruit and more fruit, and that your fruit's going to remain. It's guaranteed. God's guaranteed you'll be fruitful. It's going to happen. Say, did you know these things were going to happen when you moved to Florida? Absolutely. God guaranteed it. I already knew I was going to be fruitful if I abide in him. He does it. He does it. Just rest in him and trust him. And he always does more than you think he's going to do. Just trust in the Lord. There is no other way. Without him, I can't do anything. With him, I can do all things. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we thank you for this word. God, simple, but God, basic. The foundation to our fruitfulness, to joy, to fullness, to prosperity, to blessing, to breakthrough. But you want to do a deep work in our hearts. We can't do it without you. When are we going to learn, Lord? Father, first of all, we rejoice in the pruning that you are doing. Instead of complaining, we thank you. It hurts just a little while. But then comes all the fruit of it in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done. We thank you in the past things we've gone through and the fruitfulness that came from it. But Lord, You're taking us to new levels. You're not done. You've got great things ahead. Lord, it's not even entered into our heart, nor eye seen, nor ear heard, all that you've prepared for us as individuals in this class, in this church, and in this, Lord, congregation now as individuals. I thank you. Lord, I pray you're going to bring encouragement. I pray people, Lord, that have just never learned to abide today, they're going to take that step of faith and say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it God's way. I've been doing it my way too long. I'm really going to do it. I'm taking the plunge. I'm going for it. I want what God has for my life. Lord, I want your will. I want to be obedient. I want to bring pleasure to your heart. I know I'm going to grow. I know things are going to happen. I know, God, this is the beginning of a new faith adventure that Lord, it's going to take me up uncharted paths and mountains, Lord, that I've never conquered in my life. Things are going to happen. So today I make that commitment in my heart